this guy apparently just freelanced on his own, and according to his brother, who gave CNN a very rare interview yesterday, he has been to Pakistan 6 times now in his personal quest to either capture or kill Osama bin Laden. They arrested the Pakistani authorities, basically took him into custody, picking him up in the area around Chitral, which is kind of in one of the more, you know, wild and rough border areas near the border with Afghanistan. He was walking toward the border when they picked him up. He was carrying a sword, a gun, some binoculars, I think, or some navigational equipment, plus some Christian reading material. And they've detained him. Now, his brother has told CNN that that basically there's nothing wrong with him, that he's not insane, he's not crazy. But the latest information that we have is that a Pakistani doctor who's examined him says that he has psychological problems.
He didn't have a family member in, you know, 9/11 or something like that. Do we have an explanation as to why? I mean, you just don't just pick up in a plane and go to, I guess you can, but it just seems bizarre.
It's very bizarre, and we asked his brother specifically yesterday. Were there any members of the family killed in 9/11? Was there anybody impacted at all on 9/11? And they said no. He said no. There was no one in the family who was, but they seem to be a very religious family. At least the brother is, and this man Gary Faulkner seems to be. The brother has said that they were upset by the fact that bin Laden made references to the Christian God and taunted Westerners and Christians and people who were not Muslims after 9/11, and they took great offense to that, that they took it very personally, and that Gary Faulkner got angry at that and decided to basically take it upon himself to travel to Pakistan and that frontier region and look for him. The brother said he was working with others. It's not clear now who those might have been. We initially got indications from the Pakistani police that they didn't think there were any others with him, but there may be. I think that they're trying to kind of hash some of that out right now. U.S. officials are also getting some consular access to him and are working on talking with him further about just what was motivating him. So hopefully we'll get some more detail in the coming days.
And do we expect that he'll be, I mean, it's taking bounty hunting to a whole new level, but do we expect that he'll be released, or what do we expect? I guess they're working it out.
Yeah, they are working it out. Now, as of yesterday, I was told that there were no formal charges expected. A Pakistani official told me that, or there were at least no formal charges being worked on at the moment. Now, again, this is a very fluid situation. They could charge him with something, but you raise a very good point, Chris. What are they going to charge him with? He's done, you know, his brother said he had a passport that was valid, that they gave him a visa. He's done seemingly nothing illegal other than, you know, walking around with this. They might be able to get him on a weapons charge. Although, you know, in that region, you know, if you don't carry a weapon, you might be deemed insane.
Yeah.
So it's certainly not clear what they're going to be able to get him on legally. You know, he said kind of conflicting things, that he'd been looking for bin Laden, but then he told Pakistani police he had no intention of killing bin Laden, but because of the weapons he was carrying, the police didn't really believe his story. There's little we know about his background. He was born in California. He's a construction worker. He's been divorced for quite some time. He's got a grown son. He's been living in Colorado since the 60s, we're told. He has, again, you know, his brother said he's made 6 trips to Pakistan, and the last time he drove his brother to the Denver airport, his brother Scott Faulkner said he didn't expect to hear from him again.
Wow.
So it's we are finding out more and more about this man, and each turn seems to be more bizarre.
Wow. And we can't let you get away without at least touching on BP.
Sure.
Of course, the president speaking last night, the meeting at the White House today, and word that the amount of oil coming out of the ground even higher than we anticipated. This is like the 10th revision of this number.
That's right. And now we're getting a figure, you know, it's a very general figure, 35,000 to 60,000 barrels a day, which is, you know, they, again, as you say, Chris, they keep revising it higher. Do we hearken back? Do we dare hearken back to the initial days after this when they said it was 1,000 barrels a day? Seems
surreal, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really is surreal. And this flow rate technical group that came up with this latest estimate, I think, you know, they're the first ones to tell you that it's hard to really calculate what's coming out of there, that they have gone back and forth with each other. They had about a 10-hour meeting and conference call on Sunday when they were really debating the science of this in hard terms with each other. And these are scientists. These are people who know a lot more about this kind of thing than we do, and they seemingly can't quite get their heads around it very often, and certainly through no fault of theirs. It is very hard to calculate exactly what's coming out at that depth and how much of it is natural gas, how much of it is crude oil, how much of it is being dispersed. These are all things that you have to consider. It's not necessarily, you know, 60,000 barrels of crude heading straight for the coast. There are a lot of caveats to this. It's an ominous figure, and it's certainly troubling, no doubt about that. But I think you have to kind of approach it with some context. You know, how much of it is really making it to the shore? They're diverting a lot of it. They're skimming a lot of it. They are burning off a lot of it. So it's, you know, the actual environmental impact, that's going to be tough to tell.
Yeah, it's and you're doing a profile of the chairman of BP, the chairman of their board of directors. This is sort of an elusive guy. We don't know much about this guy, do we?
We know very little about him, and boy, I'm finding out more by the minute today as I work on this profile of him. His name is Carl Henrik Svanberg, a Swedish gentleman who had no experience in the oil industry before joining BP back in September of last year. He's only been on the job now for about, maybe 9 months. He became chairman of the board just in January, and then, you know, this disaster happened in April, so he's had very little time to bring himself up to speed on the technicalities of the oil industry and to really, get going. He used to work. He used to be the chairman and CEO of Sony Ericsson Mobile Communications, and is from what we know, has gotten fairly high marks for turning around that company, streamlining it, and making it more profitable. But and you know, for a board chairman, you know, I guess you don't necessarily have to be a nuts and bolts person, you know, with expertise in that particular field. Clearly, this guy isn't. Tony Hayward, who's got a geology background, who's the CEO, is the oil guy. And maybe Mr. Svanberg is just a bottom-line guy who has to appease the shareholders and make sure that the profits are what they need to be. That appears to be the case at the moment, but we're finding out more and more about him. He's certainly emerging from the shadows in a big way today as he meets with President Obama.
That had to be a fun meeting. I mean, which would you rather have, a tooth pulled or go to that meeting?
I mean, you know what? I'd like to go to the meeting.
We would all like to be.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the meeting and be a fly on the wall, not necessarily be the target of the wrath of the administration when they're demanding that you set up an escrow account, which we just got word that they agreed to do for $20 billion. So that's, another hit for BP.